Hello, my name is Jose Picardo. I am a languages teacher, and I also write a blog called boxoftricks.net. Today's podcast is about podcasting. Mark Pendleton, an experienced podcaster from the Radiolingua Network, spoke about his experiences in podcasting at the recent Isle of Wight conference. Without any further ado, let's listen to Mark.
The lessons that I have learned through this that I want to share with you. Well, first of all, in terms of learning, podcasting for learning. I think that podcasting provides the content that learners need in their context. If we're talking about school children here, then their context is a context of mobile phones and iPods. And I was sitting at the traffic lights yesterday, turning out you didn't need to know where I was going, but I was sitting at the traffic lights and the school had just come out and a group of kids were walking along and I counted, I think, 20 different kids walking past. Every single one of them had their iPod in. But not just that, they were actually walking along talking to each other, but still had their iPod in. And you know what it's like? That's what it's like all the time. So we might as well give them content. Put on it. It works in their context. This idea of secret learning, with the project that we were running with the Verbcast, they were learning it in secret, nobody knew. But the same can apply to them walking along the road or in the school bus or whatever. Nobody needs to know that they're learning French verbs. They might be, you know, French verbs with Slipknot in the background or something like that, but it's nonetheless, it can be learning and nobody needs to know. So there's this sort of lack of the peer issue there. iPods and other kind of mobile devices give massive storage opportunities. In terms of the numbers there refer to what a young person in Scotland, if he starts language learning in first year and go right the way through to 6 years, 6 years of language learning represents 670 hours of learning. But you can get 1,000 hours of learning on a fairly basic iPod. So there's huge storage potential there. Access, well, if it's not on it, then they won't use it. But if it's on it, whether that's content that you've produced, whether it's content that you've sourced for them, or that you've pointed them to, then they just might use it. The whole idea of if you go to the supermarket, where's the milk? Where's the milk in your supermarket?
At the very end,
the very back. So you've got to walk past everything else to get the thing that you went in for. And you might just pick something. It's IKEA. When you go to IKEA, has anybody ever been to IKEA and come back with the thing that they went for and that alone? No. Especially Christmas, because you go past all that Christmas stuff and my wife says, one of them. Because it's there. So if it's on their iPods or if it's on their MP3 players, they just might use it. You can deliver things just in time through RSS, through the podcast feed. So, for example, you can time things to happen just before an exam, or you can time things to happen like you did with the Verbcast on particular days at particular times. So it's possible to do that. But the key issue there, and this is something that you're going to be experiencing in the other podcasting sessions that you're going to be doing today, hopefully, is the fact that undoubtedly learners learn the most by actually making the podcasts themselves and making podcasts for each other. In terms of building the community and sharing information, what we also found with the Pi stuff is that it's something that does inherently build community. People want to be part of it, so they listen to it. If they're involved in it, they listen to it more. But also the fact that learning is not just for students. Within my East Ayrshire job, we were doing some stuff where we were trying to get CPD by podcasting. So through we ran conferences and people who couldn't attend a particular session, they got the podcast version of it afterwards, just as Joe's doing here by recording these sessions, and you'll have access to all of the podcasts from these 2 days. And excellent opportunities for collaboration, both in terms of preparing programmes and also in actually recording them as well. A couple of things just to maybe mention. I don't think that a successful podcast is when a teacher puts the recorder down in their class and delivers their class. To me, that is not a successful podcast. If the child has sat through your 40-minute lesson, your 50-minute lesson, no offence to anybody, but if they've sat through your 50-minute lesson and then you're expecting them to go and do the same again, I don't think that's fair. I think a podcast, a much better podcast, would be taking 5 minutes and saying 4 main points of the lesson. And that's a much, much better podcast, much more in keeping with what the purpose of the medium is. And also, most of our stuff is not scripted. We script the beginnings, we script the end, but the middle bit is real teaching, okay? It's not, the 1 minute languages are scripted, okay? But the other stuff, Coffee Break stuff, is completely unscripted. It means that sometimes you've got to go stop and go back, but the rest of the stuff is pretty natural, and I think that's much easier on the ear for young people in particular to listen to. In terms of the kind of technical lessons that I've learned, looking at equipment, I mean, again, this is probably going to be covered in other sessions, but equipment where there's loads of different things that can be said about this, and there's loads of resources online as well, and maybe that would be better dealt with in questions. But you can use Macs, you can use PCs, you can use free software to record it using things like Audacity, you can use GarageBand in a Mac, you can go up the spectrum a bit and use things like Soundtrack Pro or Dolby Audition. Your mic can be as basic as something that you can buy in Tesco's for £8 or something like that. You can use mobile devices and then connect them to the computer to make your podcast that way. You can use the inbuilt microphone on a computer. There are so many different ways of getting sound into the computer. There's USB mics that you can plug in. The one that I would tend to recommend would be the Samson, either the CO1U or the CO3U. And those are really good quality mics. The CO3U is about £60. £60. The CO1U, I think, is a bit lower, maybe about £40. But they look the part, they definitely look the part, nice big condenser mics and much better quality recording. In terms of where you speak into the mic, if the mic's there, particularly with condenser mics, if the mic's there, then between your voice and the mic, there's lots of the room that it's going to pick up. Whereas if the mic's there and you set your settings lower, then it's going to pick up you and much less of the room. That's not necessarily the same with other kind of mics, but with condenser mics, that's what you need to think about. Lots of different systems for getting your podcast out there, things like Podomatic, Libsyn, even with some of the Edublog services and so on. Lots of different ways of getting your podcast out there. And this last point there that I've said, respecting the ear. What I mean by that is that, first of all, if we're getting, particularly in this situation, young people, to actually spend the time listening to something that you have created for them or you've suggested that they listen to, I think it's our responsibility to make sure that whatever it is they're listening to is as good as we can possibly make it. Not just in terms of the pedagogy, but also in terms of the quality. If you're expecting kids to listen to something that's full of pops, especially if they're listening on earbuds, then the pops are going right through their head and it's not very pleasant. Equally, if something's recorded at a very low level, you know, for example, the idea of this, you know, in the classroom, there's a lot of echo, it's not going to be picked up well, then again, are they going to listen to it? It would be nice if we could do that in such a way that not only would they get something from it, but they would actually want to listen to it. So I think we've got to respect the ear and that whole idea that it is a voice in their head. Very rarely would young people in particular listen to a podcast or any kind of audio on speakers, particularly a podcast and particularly something for learning. So everything that you are doing, if you're recording a podcast, you're speaking to that person inside their head. It's a very intimate experience, basically. So you've got to think about that in the way in which you produce the content. So just a couple of wee points there. I would say if you want to find out more about podcasting, one of the best places just to go is this man's blog, boxoftricks.net. And you will find lots of information there about how to get a start in using podcasts and also to making them. And there's also some information in my blog.
Is that again, Box of Tricks?
Boxoftricks.net. You can listen to it on the computer, you can burn it to CD or whatever.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, for those tips. And a big thank you goes out to Joe Dale for organising the conference at the Isle of Wight. Well, that's all from me now. Don't forget you can go to www.boxoftricks.net if you want to read more about the subject. Okay, see you soon.